Okay, so our second presentation here this afternoon, Wellness for the Whole Person, Spirit, Soul, and Body by Jim Painter. Jim is the Nutrition Program Director in Integrative and Functional Medicine at John Patrick University, and his PhD was from the University of Illinois in Foods, Nutrition, and Wellness Studies.
Thank you very much, and thanks for coming. This is, I think, I'm 70. This is my next 20 years. And so you're going to see it first here. And I see this all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus. We talk about them separately, but they're just us. And they will function together. It must be remembered that we're going to talk about them separately, but the end, hopefully if I get to it, we'll talk about how they function together. So where do you find spirit in this natural world? There's one place. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We have to be born again. So is the spirit most important? Yeah. Live well, healthy body, strong, die, separate from God. So number one is God's spirit. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Well, our body's not new. Our mind is not new. What's new? Our spirit is new. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It is us, essentially. He raised him from the dead, seated him in his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that's to come. And he seated us with him in the heavenly places. The most important scripture that I can think of is this one. I counsel people for the last 40 years. Who are you and where are you? Well, we're seated there. No, we're not. We're here. Our body's here. Our mind is here. Who is seated there next to the Lord Jesus right now? Our spirit is. We are there. And we should live from there, talk from there, pray from there, and be from there, because that's where we are. It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. Where do you find the Spirit of God? Where do you find it? In the Word of God. It is spirit. It is life. So when I want to find out who I am, I don't think, how do I feel? Well, this hurts. Oh, that hurts. Oh, who am I? It's who he says I am. That's the truth about who I am. John 6:63. So we read the Word, we believe, and we pray. I want to say a couple of things just about praying. You know, pray in the Spirit. That's so important. We can pray with the natural mind. We certainly can. We can live there. But we're supposed to pray with the Spirit. And we have adoration. You know, we give God praise. And then we confess. Be gracious, God, according to your faithfulness, according to greatness, your compassion. Wipe out my wrongdoing. Wash me. Make me guilt-free. And then thanksgiving. You know, we've heard these things forever, but I want to say this. Do we know what these things do to us when we do them? We're supposed to do them. We've talked about doing them. But if you don't do them, you're not living in the Spirit. So second thing is our mind, our soul. Do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our spirit is brand new. It is. But our mind must be transformed. And I've seen so many nasty Christians. I worked at Oral Roberts Ministries for a long, long time. And I would pray with people, we talk to people, and this idea that we've been transformed by the renewing of our mind, if it doesn't happen, we are a mess. So what is the result then? That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I was an anxious kid. I had ulcers when I was 15. You know, I think, gee, my mom was a world-class warrior, my grandmother was a world-class warrior, and they taught me to be a world-class warrior. I did. And so it was odd. This is the most wonderful thing that will keep him in perfect peace. How? If your mind is stayed on him. I practiced that for years and years. It took a while to get it to work. Set your mind on the things above. So what do we think about? Whatever is true and honorable, right and pure and lovely, whatsoever of good repute, if there's anything excellent, let your mind dwell on those things. I have counseled more employees for the last 40 years. When they come in with a sentence to me, and I'll say, you know what? That's not true. That is a lie, and you're thinking about it. What do I do? Well, we'll get to that in just a minute. But my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Because they are life to to those who find them and health to their whole flesh. So we want to live well. I have people all the time. I'm just anxious. I'm just nervous. I feel like there's a cloud over my head. Do we have to live that way? And my answer to you is no. We can get sick. We can have that stuff happen, but we don't live there. And then before I do an experiment with my students for the last 45 years, I say, okay, let's pray. And so the students are new. I get done praying, and they're looking at me like, what did you just do? Well, I just did this. Trust in the Lord with all of our heart. Don't lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct our path. And so we don't know what we're doing in this experiment. We don't know what's going to happen with it. So we start out every experiment with this. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is the most important scripture in my whole life. It saved my life many times. It saves me every day. And most everybody I talk to as a believer has no idea how to do this. And they don't do it. When I first learned this, we're casting down imaginations. Really? I mean, as a 15-year-old boy, you think of something, you lust after something. That's me. No, it isn't. You can grab it if you want, but you don't have to. And so every high thought raised up against God's knowledge. I've had so many women in my office, I'll say 10,000, that sit down and tell me a story. And I'll say, I hear you. I understand it. That is a lie. What? I'm fat. My dad's fat. My mom's fat. My sister's fat. My grandmother's fat. Everybody I know is fat. I've tried every diet. It's hopeless for me. I am hopeless. And I'll say, you know, I don't want to be mean or nasty, but what you just told me is a lie. It is not true. Why? I've seen people that have done it. And so this idea, I just love this. I started doing this. I did it when I first learned it, minute by minute for weeks, casting things down. When I found out just because the thought's there, it's not mine. I can choose to log onto it or not. And taking every thought captive to obey Christ. There's a preacher in Chicago, and he was in an insane asylum. And he heard this scripture. And he started picturing every time he got a thought, he'd just go, okay, he's riding on a horse. He would lasso it, and he'd bring it to Jesus. He did that. He did that day in and day out for just a couple of weeks. And he was well. He now is, his church is, I don't know how many thousands of people, but I've heard many people practice that in different ways. You just need to do it. We can cast down images and pictures in our head. And when we get into trouble, I killed somebody. Well, did you think about it? Yeah, I dreamed about it all the time. Oh, before we do something, we meditate on it up here. If you don't want to do something, or you want to do something, what are you meditating on? So this one really is. I see people not do this. I've tried to get employees to do this. I train them to do this when they come in my office. I've counseled so many people trying to lose weight, and this is the answer. So that is thoughts. The third part is our physical being, which is what I want to talk about today, really. The natural man, why do you want to eat right and be well? I want to look good. I want people to look at me, man, he looks good. You know, lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life. That's not the reason that we do it. So for Christians, our body's the temple. That's the most amazing thing to me. This little fleshy body, the God of the universe that created everything dwells in here. He really does. He's in there. Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Spirit of God who is in you, who have you received from God? You're not your own. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. That is so important. To take care of our body. More important is this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health. God's number one and two thing. Oh, not really. It's third and second and third. You want to prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. God, people say, why am I sick? And I say, is your soul prospering? Well, no, I hate everybody. I'm having problems in life, and I'm just not doing well. Well, your body can't prosper past your soul. And so if your soul's not doing well, your body's not going to do well. Bodily exercise profits little. I've had people tell me that. I don't exercise. Why? Well, it says right there, it profits little. But read the whole thing. It profits little compared to godliness. Because godliness has a promise in this life and that to come. Well, it doesn't say you're not supposed to. It just said you should be working on holiness first and then body second. Do you not know that your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, This is so important. I don't take care of my body. I don't care what I eat. I can eat whatever I want. God will destroy him. Did he mean that? Does Jesus kid around in the Bible? Ah, just kidding. I won't kill you. It says so right here. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. People say, I'm not going to take care of my body. Your body is very important to God. As a matter of fact, as soon as you leave your body, you leave the planet. The only way you can stay on this planet is if you have a body. And so if you don't treat your body well and it falls apart, you leave the planet. So it is definitely not the most important, but it's very important. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So whatever, this is the most convicting scripture to me my whole life. I think about it almost every day. What do you think about when you're out there today, the snack time, you go down to lunch, you eat lunch. Do you think about this? Whatever you eat, or whatever you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, people say, when you go to a restaurant, people hate to eat with me. Oh, I don't want to eat with you. Why? You're judging me. No, I'm not. You should judge you, though. And say, is what I'm about to eat, is it glorifying God, or is it just because I want to do it because it tastes good? So here we are, body, mind, and spirit. The spirit is us. We have a mind and a body, but we are spirit. So the conclusion to this little first part, and that's half my time. We are three parts. The spirit's 100% new. The mind has to be renewed. If we do not do that, we fail if we're trying to keep our body together. Body must be kept in subjection to the mind and the spirit. Now, I have just 2 points I want to make here, but one of them is a long one. Number one, spirit affects body. God made Adam dead. He made his whole body, and then he breathed in him the breath of life. Distinctly makes it two different steps. He made Adam there dead, and he breathed on him. So did he breathe oxygen on him? Well, no. What does God breathe? He's a spirit. All he breathes is spirit. So, but if the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your spirit, soul, and body. No, not your soul. Give life to your mortal body. If you have ever been sick and you have not turned to this scripture, you are missing out. I use this whenever I get sick. No matter what part is sick, I speak to it. Say, wait a minute. Holy Spirit dwells in my stomach and has given me life right now. The life, that same life that raised this decrepit 3-day-old dead body. So you got this dead body, spirit comes in, filled with life. So, you know, I've been so sick sometimes, I thought, God, I'm really ready to go. I can die now. I'm 70, so I'm ready to go. But I think about this, and I'll start to pray this. God, you live in me. This is the most underutilized scripture in the Bible, I think, from my point of view. It's unutilized. And so when people are ill, always, people say, what is life? I've had discussions with professors and students. What is life? Well, it's chemical energy in a brain. Well, not really. You can put energy in there, and you're still dead. It's breath. You're breathing. Well, no, you can put a pump on somebody and keep their lungs going forever, but they're not alive. They're still dead. And so what makes you alive? Spirit. And I've said that before, and people go, you're nuts. No. Spirit gives life to flesh. So that's one thing. Now, the main part of this talk is my second point here, and that is body affects soul and mind. I am telling you, I just don't feel good today. What's the problem? Well, it is probably what you ate last week. What? Really? You're set up. You have one vagus nerve. You think they all go down your back, through your spine, and out? No. There's one that doesn't. Comes out at the base of your brain, goes to your tongue, goes to your heart and lungs, comes down to your intestines. That, I've known about that for decades. I thought it was the brain telling the body what to do, and it is not. 90% of the discussion on the vagus nerve is from your intestines to your brain. Really? Yeah. And so this is a direct connection our body has to our brain. It's one shot, this winding little nerve that goes through our body. So this is what we're going to talk about today in the last few minutes, is psychobiotics. Ted Dennen just came out with this in 2012. So that was 12 years ago. This is a brand new area. I mean, you can look at it. If you go back much before this, there's nothing written about it. Psychobiotics, they are live bacteria which you ingest affect your central nervous system. Is that amazing to you? Bugs in your intestine relate to the function of behavior. Your behaviors, if you say, whatever it is. I teach a class on nutrition and mental health, and I thought I was going to talk about nutrients. But I talk 90% of the time about probiotics. Doesn't matter. Bipolar, schizophrenia, all of them. But today we're just going to talk about depression. And then prebiotics, what you ate yesterday is going to determine what's living in your intestines. They're prebiotics. They need them to survive. So psychobiotics have effects on the gut-brain axis, which we just showed you, through the nervous system, the vagus nerve, through the humoral parts of the body. And so this is the vagus nerve taking information. The vagus nerve penetrates all the way into your intestine to the lining of your intestine, right next to anything that's in your intestine. They have this direct connection. They're producing things that go right in. You think of serotonin. What is serotonin? It's the feel-good hormone. You go to the doctor, they give you a serotonin reuptake inhibitor. You make serotonin, take that drug, and it doesn't let it get taken back up. It builds up in your body. You feel better. Serotonin. You know where most of your serotonin is made? And by who? It's made by the bacteria in your intestine. 90% of the serotonin that we have in our body is made by our intestine or by bacteria in our intestine. You have got to be kidding me. No. No, that's where it's all happening. So if you're a little depressed, I just don't feel quite right, I'm nervous, I'm anxious, whatever it is, it could be the intestine, the bacteria in your intestine producing those things. So when people say, I have heartache, it was gut-wrenching, it's more than a metaphor. It's actually true. You get it right here. Why? Because you have all this massive nervous system around your intestine, and when you go, oh, that hurt, it was gut-wrenching, it truly is gut-wrenching. That's what's happening. And so the human microbiome is 10 to the 14th microorganisms. That's between 2 times and 100 times greater than your whole body. When I heard that, this is a big body. You're telling me that the bugs I have in my intestine, a few hundred of them, 1,000 of them, there's more there than make up my whole body? Yes, there really is. You are more a bacterial colony. I think he mentioned that, was it last night he talked about that? Or this morning. They may have both talked about it, actually, last night. So this is 100 billion stars in Andromeda Galaxy, 100 billion. The microbes in your body is about 39 trillion. This is more than the 30 trillion human cells in your body. I think it's a little over one, but some people say it's 100. I think that's an old number now. But there are more bugs in your intestine than in your whole body. So how many is a trillion, 100 seconds, 1,000 seconds, million? Someone says, I'll tell you, will you marry me? I'll tell you in 100 seconds. Well, that's 1 minute. I'll tell you in a billion seconds. That's 31 years. So we get to billions and trillions. Now, this is the American diet, and I want to talk about this. Dr. Burkett, he was a surgeon in Great Britain. He went to Africa, and he found none. Heart disease, diabetes, colon cancer, diabetes. He didn't find any. And he found out the reason was because of fiber, and he wrote the F-word diet, which is fiber. And then there's John Harvey Kellogg, who saw we're not eating enough fiber, and he made cornflakes. Poor John Harvey. And now the cornflakes look like this. And Sylvester Graham made the Graham cracker to get more fiber in the diet. It's whole grain flour. He was a minister. He said, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. But he was talking about this. We take off the bran, we take out the germ, and all that's left in white flour is this. And we lose 60 to 80% of the nutrients. It's almost all gone. So probiotics do all these things. They work in a variety of ways. I have 2 studies to show you. This one is efficacy, safety, tolerability of probiotics on depression, clinical results from an open label pilot study. And so they used 2 strains of bacteria, Lactobacillus helveticus and Bifidobacterium longum. And this is what they found. At 0, this is the MADRS score, and that's mild depression. After 4 weeks, it dropped down to about 15, 14, and that is super mild depression. This is just medium, and this is low. It's almost down to none. And this quiz, same thing, 20 is moderate depression. You get down to about 14, and it's mild depression. And anhedonia is something else. This is the last one I'll show, and that is a systematic review and meta-analysis. This was done in 2016, and so it's 8 years old. And so I looked at this. I have this study for you because it all turned out to be correct. So this is a meta-analysis of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 studies, and on a forest plot, here's the zero line right here, and it shows that every single one of them was beneficial at the p.005 level. It worked. You look at under 60 and over 65, again, they all worked. This one, not as much. It worked better for the younger, older people. And then this was healthy people right here, and this is with depressive disorder. And so what happened? It worked here, but in this one, it worked even better. Healthy people can also be depressed. So the conclusion is that probiotics, reducing the risk of depression, it's really well known. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of studies that I could bring, but I just wanted to show you these two. So this is what I say. We're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. We have to let the spirit can affect the body. We need to read the word to get what the spirit's saying. Body can affect the soul and the mind. Eat whole foods. Someone asked me, what do you have to say? One thing, eat whole foods. You've studied nutrition for how long? 45 years. 45 years, all you can say is, yeah, eat whole food. Number one, should I be vegan or should I be paleo or should I be a carnivore? Wait, you missed my point. Eat whole foods. If you can eat a cow, eat the whole thing. You know, you don't want to leave pieces out. We cut out all the stuff on the side and get the pure meat. Well, we want all of it. So I'll end with this. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And this is the most important part. Faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. He works with us on everything. He certainly works with us on this. Okay.
Just stay up for questions.
Okay.
I'll just resend hers.
Any questions, comments? Yes.
Okay, I guess they're recording.
Oh, you want this?
Yeah. Could you please go back to the slide that had those studies, the statistics on that?
Huh?
And what I'd like to ask
you
about
to bring
is
it
the
back
effect
up?
Size. I just saw it very briefly, but could you please comment on the effect size in that? Thank you.
Okay.
Which one do you want?
This, you want this one or the one before it?
The reference would be good, the first page.
Which one did we want?
Oh, the very first page? Oh.
Yeah, the authors. One up.
Go up one more, I guess.
There we go.
This is Central South University, Hunan, China, and it is three people that I do not know.
So what was your question?
My question is, go to the next slide, please. There,
okay.
Can you discuss the effect size? From here, it looks like that the effect size looks fairly small.
It is fairly small. And so if you look at this, this is the first study I showed you did not have a control group, which is sad because the best thing you can do for someone who has a mental disorder is give them a placebo because placebos work amazing. So we didn't have that. But these are our clinical trials. So we've got the probiotic, and we've got the placebo, and it compares each one. And then I don't see that on here. Okay, so this is then the same group. It's just looking at under 60 and over 65. And so the overall test Z effect is a 0.22 for this over 65. For this, all the rest of them, the overall effect was p.005. So it was extremely significantly effective. And that's not a big, it's not a big change. The first one that we saw was going from like 24 down to about 14. That's good enough. That does something. You can be statistically significant and practically ineffective in many things, especially in nutrition. Show that it works, but you can't eat that much, or you don't get that much. This you do. You actually, just by taking a probiotic, you can make an effect on your depression score that is meaningful and effective.
I just want to get the reference. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'll hold it there for a second.
Yes.
I think that it's really clear what you're saying. Body, soul, and spirit are certainly part of the whole human being, just as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are all part of Godhead.
Exactly right.
And we are made in His image, so it's,
very
it's
true.
A clear reflection of being in His image. But one thing you didn't comment on, and I'm curious about that, is that in the context, in the scripture, in the context of the body, in the context of the soul, and in the context of the spirit, it talks about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
you have the heart of the body, you have the heart of the soul, and you have the heart of the spirit. I was wondering if you could comment on that, because it's used quite frequently. The word heart is used quite frequently.
I have friends that say we don't have a spirit, because when you look at the Bible, it's very difficult to distinguish a heart when you're talking about the heart, where you're talking about an emotional thing from your soul, or if you're talking about the heart, which is a spiritual thing. And so the Bible uses the same term throughout. And so I've got good friends that are very good believers, and they just only believe there's one. We have a soul spirit. But from that scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, they're different. And the Bible in Hebrew says that the word demarcates between soul and spirit, between joints and marrow. They're different. And so I guess it depends on which scripture you're reading, that which one you're talking about. You're talking about the heart. You're talking about the pump? Rarely. Are you talking about the soul? Mostly. If you're talking about the spirit, sometimes too. It's talking about your spirit, and it uses the word heart. I actually studied that when I first became a Christian many years ago, and became totally discouraged and disgusted because I couldn't figure it out. Which is which? What are you talking about when you say heart? That's difficult. So I agree it's difficult, but it's used for all three.
As I was preparing to come to the talk today, of course I read your abstract, and I want to quote from it. It says, one way to nurture the spirit is to reduce anxiety and stress. To me, it seems like that is actually reversed. We reduce anxiety and stress by nurturing our spirit. Would you care to comment on that?
It is bidirectional almost all the time. There's three parts of us. And what we do, what we think about who we are, can really affect our spirit. It can squash, depending on what we're thinking, what we're saying, what we're doing, it can squash the spirit. Where the other way around, if our spirit is built up and it's strong, it can truly benefit our soul, and it can build it up. So it goes both ways. It's both. And I think it happens both all the time.
All right, I think we're going to have to wrap it up. Thank you for a fascinating presentation.
Thank you. You know, I didn't say this, but I would be happy. I really want to get this out to the body of Christ. I'd be happy to come anywhere and give this presentation.